Hello and welcome back to JLXP. Genji versus Damwon quarterfinal breakdown. And unlike the last two 3-0 series, it is not 5 p.m. It's definitely 2 hours later. I have 9 pages of notes. So we could be here a while. this was an amazing series. I had a friend ask me where I rank this series all time. And for me, I've never done like a stack ranking of best League of Legends series ever. But I would say the SKT versus Rock series in 2016 that was also in New York would be my number one. And I think this one's ranking is actually going to depend on where Genji goes from here. Because if they just lose the next round, then the competitiveness in this series will feel a little bit misplaced. But if they somehow roll through the winner of EDG DRX and then the winner of JDG T1 in the final, that would make this series really go down in world's history as one of, if not the best. Right now I have it as like number two, but that's assuming Genji makes a big run. And it's also like prisoner of the moment. That was one of, I'm still, you know, high off the series. It was so great. Really quick before I get into the breakdown though, I want to thank people for watching yesterday's video, the T1 RNG. It's on pace actually to be like the most viewed video I've ever had on this channel. I think part of it actually is at the very end, I asked people to like the video, and I think getting so many likes encouraged the YouTube algorithm to push it to more people. And then obviously people wanted to hear about the T1 RNG series because it was so hype. So thank you for those of you who liked the video, subscribed, all that YouTube stuff. I watch all the YouTubers do it whenever I'm on YouTube, but I never do it myself. I should probably start, so I figured I'd do it here. Also read some comments about wanting or asking if I could do higher production value. In the future, I'm somewhat open to it, but I also want to get these videos out as quickly as possible, and any editing I would do would add a render time before I could start the upload and greatly delay when I can push the video out. And then also there are some Riot rules around how much gameplay you can show without waiting like 24 hours. Because if I just showed a bunch of highlights and talked over them, that's basically like co-streaming on a 1 hour delay, which isn't allowed. That's why you see everybody live viewing. So just some context of why these videos are the way that they are. And I think that's enough YouTube channel business, because people really want to hear about these games, and I think they were great. One cool thing that the analyst desk talked about before the game was how close this series has been between Genji and Damwon the whole year, but also how Genji has won all the series. So every series they have played in 2022 has gone the maximum number of games, but has also been won by Genji. So they played in the first round robin, the second round robin of spring, first round robin, second round robin of summer. All of those were 2-1 for Genji. In spring playoffs, it was 3-2 for Genji. And obviously here in the world quarterfinals, it was 3-2 to Genji. The hype piece before this was, I think, one of the best hype pieces that has been done for Worlds. You can find that on the LoL Esports channel, or they showed it in the pre-show if you're watching. Some amazing narration from Caster June about the Showmaker versus Chovy matchup. Showmaker saying Chovy is like the perfect laner. He plays like a robot, but Chovy also saying he's learned a lot about Showmaker. They had this whole like fire and water, Chovy being fire, Showmaker being water in terms of the way they try and play. Thought it was super cool. Also some stylistic things that I had in my mind before the series started. If Damwon was going to win, it was going to be by returning a little bit to the 2020 form that won the World Championships. And for me, that was just pick as much Pryo as possible in every lane and let Canyon go to work. And I think in the games that worked this series, that's what they did. For Genji, though, the best version of them is let's set up Chovy and Ruler for the most success possible, because they are two of the best players in those carry positions that we've seen on a single roster, right? That's how they dominated the LCK. That's ultimately, I think, how they won this series as well. But it was incredibly close. So with that, I realize I actually have my, my like, you get a preview of my player ratings and stuff and how I'm sloppily taking notes, but I'm going to actually move on to the drafts that you see on the left screen right here and very quickly move this over to the other screen. Okay, so game one. Some really interesting draft stuff happened throughout this entire series. What a lot of people realize was that Yumi is really good, but I really do wonder what happened in scrims. I imagine these two teams were probably scrimming each other a fair bit before they got drawn to play each other. And I imagine Lucian Nami was just dumpstering all of those scrims. That is the most likely explanation for why Lucian Nami had such an insanely high priority this series. So Damwon giving over a first pick Yumi so they could lock Lucian Nami against it makes sense in that context, in the context of what we've seen on stage at the World Championship and what we saw on stage during these games, doesn't necessarily make that much sense. I also thought it was a little interesting that Genji just blue side bland Graves the entire series. They were unwilling to first pick it away and go with the style that had worked for JDG or even T1 when they were just dominating games with Graves. So definitely a little bit inflexible for Genji very early on. But obviously able to play any side of the Yumi matchup. So the rest of this draft is actually really interesting. You may wonder, why is Ryze there? this was weirdly, to me, like a very good Ryze angle. So no one plays Ryze, but let's talk about why. For one, Ryze has always been able to get lane prio, but then has generally struggled in team fights, and he's fairly short range. But he's good in side lanes, and he's good at impacting side lanes early on because he can get mid push. But when he doesn't win the 1v1, he can't push side lanes. So let's take like an Akali or even a Yone. He's probably losing that. If he's matched up against an Azir or Victor, then he's going to be outranged in team fights. But in this specific situation, with everything that was already locked in for Damwon, they're a very short-range team comp. They don't have that much sustained damage. So the Ryze angle actually makes sense because they can team fight with Ryze in this context while still having the advantages that Ryze gives you in early laning phase. So a really, really clever Ryze angle by Chovy to five pick it in this game one. So the way the game like actually played out, and thank God I have notes here. Hopefully you can follow along because otherwise my mind will be a complete jumble after the five games we just saw. But the level one invade by Canyon's Kayn was absolutely crazy. He steals Wolves and Gromp while the Maokai is basically within 2,000 units of him the entire time. He does kind of lose his advantage though when he messes up the first blood kill in the top lane because it allows Peanut to move and steal Canyon's blue buff. And it also makes it a bit of a split map. So Canyon is collecting a ton of souls or marks or what orbs you call them on Kayn to get his transform early because Maokai, Renekton are two melees in topside and he wants to fight against them as much as possible so he can get red Kayn as quickly as possible. But it also allows Ruler and Lehens to play really unhinged on their MF Yumi and get a ton of prio and get a ton of plates. So it was actually almost an impossible game for Canyon, I think, when you really look at the draft, because the way a lot of the lanes played out is Genji had, they kind of ended up having three lanes pushing in the early game. Renekton pushed Gragas, Ryze pushed Lissandra, MF Yumi, probably more of a player gap, but achieved push on Lucian Nami. So as the Kayn in that situation, like, what do you do? And he just started flipping the game. So the ridiculous, ridiculous fight at Rift Herald where Canyon does a blue buff invade, gets the blue, is at like 25% health, and then just starts the Rift Herald. They actually get the Rift Herald. It injects a bunch of gold into Canyon. He gets even more orbs. Yes, one person dies, but it's exactly what they need because at 10:30, 10 minutes and 30 seconds in game one, Canyon gets his Kayn transform and immediately just reinvades the bottom side and takes perfect advantage of the window you need to take advantage to on Kayn and just gets a ton of kills. And honestly, with how Canyon popped off, like killing Doran again, killing Chovy inside Genji's own blue jungle, it actually looked to me like Dom1 was going to win this game. And they're just continually trying to accelerate the game. So at 17:30, they're going for this big dive bottom lane. They dive Renekton in between a mid-tier bottom turret, but it backfires. Like they actually don't have enough damage yet. Lucian is not fed yet. Showmaker is all burst. Noggery is a full tank Gragas. And even though Kane is really strong, he's a little bit more of a drain tank than a burst champion. So they do have a hard time cutting through a Renekton or a Maokai or a Ryze, especially when you consider the heal of the Yuumi. So like the comp is actually really bad. I think Dom1's comp is really bad in this game. But because they overdive there, they give three kills to Chovy. And the game ends fairly quickly at 25 minutes. The big fight here at 22 minutes. Canyon did get like a ton of good knockups, but like Yuumi, Misfortune, Maokai, Chovy pumping damage on Ryze. Showmaker, Azale pointed this out on cast, and with no visual, it's a little hard, but like Showmaker stood in the Misfortune ult for like 75% of his health. It's a very close fight, but once Genji wins that, then they're able to just kind of dominate the rest of the game. They go for Baron, they push mid, they win at 25 minutes and 53 seconds. So really demoralizing loss for Dom1, considering Canyon, I thought, played like such an amazing game. But one other thing I found actually kind of interesting in this game was how going into it, both of these teams had the highest Dragon percentage of any two teams at the World Championship. But Dragon was an incredibly low priority because of how much Canyon was just invading topside and going for his own orbs, and how much Ruler was just really trying to push his lane advantage the whole time. There was a nice voice clip as they were going to break when Peanut, Ruler, and Lehens got a kill bottom lane, and they're just like, oh yeah, bot is finished, guys. Take the game easy, right? Take it steady. And they did that. I think they didn't panic when Canyon got a little far behind and Dom1 really tried to accelerate the game, and they were able to win. Overall, Canyon played like a psychopath. I think he nearly snatched victory from the jaws of defeat here, but you know, Genji had three lanes of push and they weren't outranged in teamfights. So how does Dom1 actually win this game? I think Lucian Nami has to win that lane. If Lucian Nami is not winning the lane with this draft, it's doomed. And they got smashed. So in terms of grades for this game, which I'm going to be putting all of them in the comments overall, I gave Doran a B, Peanut a B for just kind of holding on against all the invades. They didn't necessarily play great, but they didn't let themselves get snowballed. Chovian S, he did make, I thought, like, I forget exactly because the series was 5 hours ago, not quite the S+, but a great game. Ruler and S, Lehens in A+, because it's really hard to tell what Yuumi does. But I gave Doc Dom and Kellen C's. I gave Showmaker B. I gave Canyon an S because I thought he did some ridiculous plays. And I gave Noggery an A because he was able to set up a lot of good Gragas things. In terms of the CS stats that I've been doing, this series, they really didn't end up being that crazy. Like what ended up happening is I'd tabulate all the averages of, like, in this game, oh yeah, in the 86 Renekton Gragas matchups that we saw this year, Renekton on average is up 21 CS. And in this game, he was up 13. And crazily enough, in the one other Maokai Kane game, Maokai was down 32 CS. And he was down 35 CS here. So like, it actually kept balancing out in these really weird ways. Like Lissandra was up CS against Ryze, but that was balanced by Misfortune being up CS against Lucian. And part of that is because Ryze moved so much, which impacted the CS of the other lanes. So like the overall net for what the expected average was to what this game is Genji was one CS at 15 below expected, which is, it happened the whole series because I think these guys were just like playing at such an elite level that like the law of averages was actually balancing out. If anyone's CS was low, it was for a reason, and it was because they were trading it somewhere else on the map in a lot of cases. I thought it was so cool tracking that in this series. So that's game one. We're going to move on to game two. Okay, so game two draft. This was weird. This was this was definitely the stubbornness going too far, I think, of wanting to run back the Lucian Nami into the Misfortune Yumi, having Blue Side, not wanting the Yumi yourself, which does make sense to not take it yourself just because they didn't want to have to flip it against Singed, which is a counterpick that Lehens had been able to successfully play in the LCK. And it would feel bad to Blue Side ban Yumi, but especially with how poorly the lane went in the previous game, to use the first pick on Lucian felt really underwhelming. It was then matched by Yumi Sejuani, which I think is a really, really strong 1-2 from Gen G. And I actually like the Azir from Showmaker in this case when he picked it on 3. So at least he's able to get a little bit of outrange. And as the rest of the draft comes through, like, the Wukong is definitely a little weird. They went to 4-5 and he got a lot of bans against him. You can see Graves banned. You can see Kane banned away. But Viego also being down because they knew the Sejuani was a flex pick. Like, I think they put themselves in a pretty big hole early on in the draft phase. And the overall outcome was Gen G had ridiculous side lane pressure with Camille, Sejuani, Yone. Anytime Sejuani and a solo laner is together, they're winning that 2v2. And then if Ruler Lehens can win the lane the same way they did in the first game, it's actually just like a ton of pushing lanes. And again, Cannon is in this position where he wants to be able to play with pushing lanes and he wants to be able to invade, but the draft is just not set up for him to do so. With that being said, this game was at the time the closest game of the series. Game 5 ended up being closer, but like, this was an incredibly, incredibly close game. Partially because the Lucian Nami did play better this game than it did in previous games. And then also, even though Showmaker's scoreline is 3-3-5, he played so well in the team fights in this game. So the big beats for this game, for me, as I have in my notes here, one other thing about the series that was really strange to me is the teams pretty much never fought over Rift Herald, which isn't something we've seen for most of the year. The bot lanes were so laser focused on keeping Pryo, and the supports were so seldom roaming or moving up for Rift Herald. I just thought it was really interesting. Part of that, I think, is just because Gen G has found so much success with Ruler. But Doc Dom and Kellen were kind of doing the same thing. So anyway, 10 minutes, 30 seconds into the game, Dom Wankia actually has a 2,000 goal lead. It's from strong laning. The Lucian Nami is going a lot better. Showmaker's Azir is doing quite well, even though he does get first blooded by Peanut and Chovy, who did a really good gank at 3 minutes and 30 seconds. But overall, they're actually playing the game quite well. But by 22 minutes, Chovy and Doran are just farming up a storm, but have absolutely no mid prio. So they're playing the split map very well, as their comp would do, but the Azir and the Lucian Nami, who have hit their power spikes, are doing such a good job of controlling mid lane. They actually get really good Baron control. They get a pick onto Lehens, and they just flip the Baron. This was, looking back, a series-defining moment. They have Gragas displacement, they have Tidal Wave, they have Azir displacement, but in all of that, with a Yumi dead and a Yone in Narnia, Chovy's actually like farming bot and killing dragon during this entire Baron sequence. They can't keep Peanut out of the pit, and basically what happens is Peanut jumps in when the Baron's at like 2100 health, which normally the call from Dom Juan is going to be, okay, just stop hitting Baron, kill this idiot, then take Baron. But Ruler sneaks up, channels his Misfortune ultimate, so the Baron just gets lower and lower and lower, and it becomes an actual 50-50, and Peanut gets it. Like, kind of a backbreaker. It gives Gen G so much power in this game. But then the craziest part of this game is that even though Gen G had massive side prio, great engage options, and Baron buffs, like, Dom Juan stays in it. They just, Atlas called it a K-Ram. They just They just minimize losses as much as possible on the side lanes. They give up a ton of farm. You can see the CSs are like ridiculously low. Look at Chovy, 425 to 327, Chovy versus Showmaker. It's because like Showmaker was always next to Doc Dan. Like they were not splitting very much at all, whereas Genji was in picking up a ton of farm. But there were some like crazy, crazy fights where Showmaker at one point had like 10% health, shifts in, kills Ruler and Lehens, like clutches it up, but it ended up not mattering. The next time they force Baron, they actually just move into Baron, but like the flanks are too hard to mark for Damwon. Doran and Chovy can just kind of get any approach they want, and they go up 2-0. And like at this point in the series, it is feeling like it's going to be a 3-0 because it feels eerily similar to what we saw yesterday between T1 and RNG, where game one is kind of competitive. Game two actually feels like it would be favored for Damwon, or yesterday for RNG. And then there was a big moment in the game that just goes wrong. Here, it was the Baron flip at 22 minutes where they can't keep Peanut out of the pit. And it's looking pretty grim. They've given over Yumi two times and it feels bad. So grades for this game too, I gave B plus to Noggery and Canyon. I didn't think they had amazing games. I gave an S to Showmaker. Oh, hold on. I might have put these backwards. Am I trolling? Oh no. I'm gonna make sure I have these grades right when I post in the description. I might have put them backwards and gotten confused. Red side, blue side. Okay, so B plus and B plus were for Peanut and Doran. S was for Chovy. A was for Ruler. B was for Lehens. On the other side, I gave a B to Noggery, a B minus for Cannon. I thought he had a hard time on the Wukong. I still gave an S to the Azir, to Showmaker's Azir, because he just stayed alive and clutched out so many fights. I gave a B plus to Docdam and a B to Kellen because the lane just went a lot better for them than it did in the previous game. So I thought like this Lucian Nami angle really wasn't that bad or as egregious as it looked in game two. Okay, here's where the series starts getting really interesting. Game three. What a hero performance this game three was for Damwon. First pick Sejuani, just going through the draft from Damwon. But then Genji, like, either denial picks Lucian Nami or tells us that the Lucian Nami prio from Damwon was just them denial picking it the whole time, like, especially in game two when they first picked the Lucian. It's also this Lucian Nami versus Aphelios Lulu matchup. It's exactly the same matchup that Ruler absolutely schooled FBI and Huhi on. And then we also saw it go heavily in the Aphelios Lulu favor in the JDG versus Rogue game. So I've seen this hands diff matchup be played both ways. So I definitely think that this is like a skill matchup when I see it here. So I'm really excited to see if Genji can just throw the gauntlet down and end the series. Third pick for Genji is Azir. The 4-5 bans, just a quick call out. The Camille ban was because I think it's good versus Lucian, and then they're also trying to block the Camille Sejuani synergy, so they're not trying to give good melee carry picks. But then the 4-5 is a little weird to me. Like Peanut just picks Poppy on 4 and it pushes the Maokai top lane. And the Swain pick was kind of crazy to me because one, when I check the matchups, this matchup's happened 60 times in pro this year. 60% of those games have been won by Azir. Azir also wins CS by an average of 9.3. Doesn't have longer range, doesn't necessarily seem to fit the comp, but Showmaker must have just been feeling it. And my God, like, because Maokai wasn't even picked at the time. To me, the Maokai pick at the very end was fairly questionable. Again, I keep wondering when teams are going to play Gangplank, because I think that could have actually fit super well in the top lane, especially when you're against Aphelios, just because it makes it really hard for Aphelios to play team fights later. And I think you can scale up against a tank, but, other top laners could correct me if Gangplank isn't strong enough right now, but I think that would have been a good GP angle. Maokai Poppy topside for Genji just brings no damage. So, I talked about it, about two episodes ago about like a Rogue comp. When Rogue was playing, they play topside tank, jungle, utility, and then they need mid lane to be a control mage of damage, which is usually for Larson, and then their bottom lane. Like, this to me looked like a Rogue draft, and Rogue doesn't win if their bot lane doesn't smash. So this game doesn't actually take that long to resolve, because at level one, Gen G tries to invade with Poppy, Lucian, Nami, but in doing so, they give up bot prio, and while they're invading, they don't push Canyon off of Raptors. So before Peanut can get red buff into smite range, Canyon hits level two, and Gen G just have to leave. So now they've lost bot prio, Peanut's behind in the jungle, and they've actually lost mid prio too, because there's no way they can threaten with the jungle gank, and there's going to be a red buff Raptors Viego that's just like lurking, so Chovy can't push freely. So yeah, really, really bad level one for Gen G that sets them up for a bit of failure. Also, the top lane matchup, Sejuani versus Maokai. Noggery just destroys this matchup. He does so well. And there's this amazing dive. So a couple things happen. The level one advantage wasn't in favor of Dom on this game, but Canyon did throw it away. He does a bad invade into enemy Gromp at like 3 minutes, which to me is, it's probably the most dangerous invade in League of Legends, because the enemy bot lane has such a short path to stop you, but your own bot lane can't actually give you support. So if they ever see you to collapse, I just feel like they always have a numbers advantage. So he dies, he gets set far behind. But Noggery stacks this huge wave, has harassed Doran's Maokai incredibly low, and a level four Viego, and I think like a level seven Sejuani. This is like 7 minutes into the game. Viego's still level four. They get a turret dive, which gives you, when the level gap is that big between the jungler and like the person he's killing, you get all this bonus experience. So Canyon probably gets like a full level off that kill. And then Peanut kind of sprints it afterwards, trying to get like a return kill, has to burn his flash and doesn't do anything to Canyon or Noggery. So that to me puts them in a huge position. They get an uncontested Herald at 8 minutes and 40 seconds. Gen G doesn't have prio bot lane, but so like they just don't have any tools, because they lost bot lane from prio, from partially the draft, but mostly because of what they did level one. And I think Doc Dam and Kellen are playing really well. Everyone talked about how good Doc Dam's Aphelios was this entire series, which makes sense. And then at 16 minutes, Domwon like absolutely pops off. They're already like 5,000 gold ahead. Aphelios has gotten a bunch of turret gold. Showmaker Swain is just landing every single spell. Team comp wise, they have better front to back team fight. They have gold on their carries. And really quickly, I have to really shout out Showmaker, because I haven't talked about him that much. I don't think it's a winning lane matchup. He got a solo kill onto Chovy, and then he landed every spell, and really was just such a massive amount of pressure from the mid lane, which just made this game end really fast. So like for me, when the games are this snowballed by like 17 minutes, I do my grades then. Because with a 10,000 gold lead, unless you throw the game, like the game is effectively over for teams of this level. So at the 17-minute mark, I gave, we'll do Domon first. I gave Noggery an S for setting up that dive top lane and winning the lane so hard. I gave Canyon a B. He did come back, but he actually made like that int play early when he went for the Gromp. S+ for Showmaker. I don't think you can play Swain better than he played Swain in this game. S for Doc Dam and A+ for Kellen. I gave Ruler and Lehens both C+s this game, because you can't take Lucian, Nami and then not get prio, win lane, make plays happen. It's too damaging to your team. Chovy, I thought, played okay, even though, talking about it now, I'm changing it. I have a B. I'm giving him B-. Peanut B- and Doran B-. Just not a strong game. Okay. Game four. The series continues to get interesting. We've never been this far, by the way. All these other breakdowns have ended after game three. So I hope I'm able to keep attention and this is still interesting. Or you might be one of those people that is just clicking to the individual games, which is fine too. That's the whole reason the timestamps are there. So here we go. You can see the team comps here. This is the Jinx Lulu versus the Aphelios Renata. A lot of debate about this draft. So here's how it breaks down. First pick is Sejuani Flex. Finally, Yuumi is banned, right? No more Yuumi. Thank the heavens. Aphelios Viego is answered by Damwon after the first pick is given for Sejuani. And then they match it with Jinx Azir. And here, I think the Renata pick at the end of the first phase was just godlike. Because I don't think there's a support when you have Jinx Aphelios locked in already that can beat Renata. So getting it there, assuming they play well, guarantees them bot prio. And then I saw a lot of people in 4-5 saying that, like, at the time, Damwon ran it down by going Renekton blind and then LeBlanc on 5, which does make sense as a comment because Azir's already locked in, so why not just match the Azir right away and then just counterpick your top lane on 5? Here's why I think they did it. I think one thing that is underrated is how much Sejuani wants to have melee champions and also how bad all the melee champions are into Renekton. So getting the Renekton for themselves soft blocks Damwon from being able to draft a good melee champion top to synergize with the Sejuani. And also is just something that popped off in this game, like Blade of the Ruined King, Prowler's Claw, can still get kill threat on anything in top lane, as we saw later on in the series. And then also the LeBlanc, even though it looks a little tricky into like Sejuani and maybe a Lulu, does make it really hard for Jinx to play the game because your assassination threat is so high, not to mention picking LeBlanc as the solo AP is always really juicy for any mid laner. They just love it because no one on the opponent team ever feels good about building like even a single null magic mantle. So you can see the items even at the end of the game. Like there's literally only one person who built MR and it's Peanut because that's just the default item that Sejuani carries. So Showmaker is doing like, he didn't even go Sork Shoes, which I think he probably could have. The Mercury Treads are obviously because of Sejuani and Lulu. But if he goes Sork Shoes as solo AP, he's doing true damage like the whole game. So I actually thought this draft was okay. It does put them on a little bit of a timer. They do need to play fast, but they have the tools to do so, right? So like Renekton can push lane. Aphelios Renata can win. And then even though LeBlanc doesn't have natural push against Azir, you have kill threat, especially because you have a ganking jungler in Viego. So I liked it. I think this draft is actually totally fine. Not to mention, it makes Peanut play with 4 or 3.5 range champions. So he's really sad. His gank setup is so bad, and it's very hard for him to do anything positive. And right off the bat in this game, 3 minutes, 15 seconds, Renekton's pushed the wave. Canyon shows up at exactly the right time. Renekton plays perfectly, and we get 2 kills right off the bat for Canyon. Peanut and Doran just get outplayed in the 2v2. That's money, because now Renekton can push the game however he wants. Canyon is ahead of Peanut, so he can stat check him wherever he goes. And Peanut also has no good lanes to gank, because none of his lanes have setup. Like, falling behind in your lanes as a Sejuani with no other melee champions is miserable. So that was a massive moment in this game at 3:15. And like, even when that happens, I'm thinking like, damn, we're going 5. And the rest of the game, as you can see, does end 24 minutes and 30 seconds. So like the bot lanes really didn't move. Ruler just gets, Canyon just gets Rift Herald at 8:10. At 11 minutes, Canyon is just invading everywhere because his bot lane and top lane are winning and he's ahead. So they have like a 3,000 gold lead at 11 minutes. By 13 minutes, we see Nagari has gone Blade of the Ruined King Renekton. It makes him a constant split push threat, so they can always flank. And even if you have Azir Jinx, if you get flanked and if you can't set up proper like fight lines, you're just never going to be able to move in properly. The plates are in this game 9-2. So 1,440 gold goes to Damwon to only 320 that goes to Gen.G. So like the Prowler's Renekton and Showmaker's LeBlanc being fed just makes this game really funny. They just wipe the floor with like a 20-minute fight. They get Baron. They've been stacking Dragon. The like highlight moment, even though the game is effectively over, was when Doc Dams Aphelios goes into river and gets Infernomult onto like four people and still lives and like basically one shots all of them. So just like, just an incredibly dominant game. Damwon did pick an early game team comp, but this is why teams pick Renekton LeBlanc sometimes. It's because you can do this to teams if you play well. And I think they actually did have it. Like, I don't think the scaling is as bad as it would seem at first glance, just because of the way the teams would interact. So grades in this one, you know, 5 stars for Damwon. I gave S to Noggery, S plus to Cannon. I thought he played perfect. Showmaker was fine. I gave him an A, and then I gave S's to both Doc Dam and Kellen. On the other side, I gave a C to Peanut in this one. Part of it is from the draft. Part of it is because he just kind of got read like a book early on. The double kill was incredibly influential. Ruler and Lehens didn't get smashed in lane, but didn't make anything happen. They both get Bs. And Chovy gets a B, with Thoran getting a B minus. But now, I don't know how long I can spend on this game five, man. It was, just watch it again. Like, it was, this was such a great game. I need to check my notes to make sure I'm on track here. Sejuani first pick again was really, at the time, I really didn't like it. Yuumi is banned, thank God. But the fact that Aphelios had seemingly dominated the last two games, Doc Dam had been so amazing on it, and they just give it over, made me really wonder what their answer, what Genji's answer to Aphelios was. And they just run back the Lucian Nami. Like, at the time, that's really spooky. The 4 or 5 bans come through. The Nidalee and Karthus bans are like, Genji is laser focused into not letting Renekton plus AP carry this game. They've already banned Viego, which had worked. Like, look at these jungle bans that they've thrown at Cannon. They banned Graves, Viego, Nidalee, Karthus, and first picked away the Sejuani. And the Vi is banned on the other side because the Sejuani can flex. So we're dealing with 6 jungle denial picks by the time he goes for Kayn again in game 5. The absolute madman is playing Kayn in game 5. Damwon also 5 picks Syndra after Victor Gnar is the 4-5 for Genji. So one thing about this game is like, it's very classic 2020 Damwon. Renekton can push. Cinder with the CC can push. Gank threat, plus if he just decides to prioritize push, he can get it. The Aphelios Lulu, even though it is like a hand stiff, that lane gets push early, I'm pretty sure. And then they have Kayn. And if you're Peanut here, just imagine you're Sejuani. You have all range champions on your team, so no one can help you proc your E. No one has CC, so you can't gank anywhere. And then the other team is probably pushing all 3 lanes. Like, what do you do? It's so miserable. Like, Peanut was in such a bad spot from this draft. And right away, like, how the hell does Canyon get these level 1 sneaks again? He goes past a ward to counter jungle Raptors and Red from Genji's blue side. Maybe Peanut is a little bit too in his own head about like defending his jungle here, because he could have literally just had level 3 by killing his three top camps and then done a gank and taken Scuttling up in that too far behind. But I think he was worried about the Aphelios Lulu plus Kayn like diving Lucian Nami, because they had taken some bad trades early, and that's also similar to the play that happened in JDG versus Rogue, where JDG just double killed Rogue's Lucian Nami, like level 3 versus level 1 when the jungler showed up. So really, like, the series is over if he lets that happen. So I think Peanut, what he did early is acceptable, but man, he is really just in survival mode for like the first 8 minutes of this game. And interestingly enough, like, through the first 8 minutes, Genji's really not that far behind, considering what the early lane states were. They did a really, really good job of minimizing losses early on in this game. And Canyon, even though he did get a bit of a CS gap, got almost no orbs off of Peanut, got no kills, didn't get any turret dives off, didn't secure all the objectives. Wasn't great. at 9:30, Genji actually gets Rift Herald. And it was a bit of a miracle. Like, Chovy had to dodge a gank, and they have this really close fight at Rift Herald. Chovy actually picks it up for himself. And at this point, Chovy's farm is actually really good. So, like, at this point in the game, 9 minutes, 30 seconds, I'm thinking Chovy, he could carry this. Like, Chovy could carry this and make his first semifinal ever. Okay, I'm going to have to go timestamp to timestamp here. So at 13 minutes, Canyon realizes, like, not much has gone on in the early game, and he tries to shut down Chovy, but they... Yeah, so this was when he's invading Blue Buff, and this is definitely a reach from Canyon. Chovy comes over, pushes him off Blue Buff, gets it himself. They also kill Showmaker with, like, a Nami wave across the mid lane. This is definitely a Victor carry angle. Like, by 15 minutes, even though Victor is only up 7 CS, 152 to 145, he has kills, and he's looking... Like, I'm looking at these team comps, and I'm thinking Victor can make it somewhat hard for Felios to play. He can be tanky enough to not get one-shot by Kayn. Renekton is... an assassin, so, like, if you get a combo on him, you're taking him super low. Really good. So after the 13 minute mark, with Chovy getting kills, he has mid prior like the whole game. Ruler of Hands also, once they get their items, are doing, like, they're strong enough that they can actually keep the Aphelios off of lane prio. And Noggery doesn't have the snowball he did in the previous game, so really Damwon doesn't have that much to play around. They're suddenly on the back foot. It takes until 20 minutes and 33 seconds for Canyon to get his transform on Kayn. He got his transform in game one at 10 minutes. This took him twice as long to get his transform in game five. So after the 22 minute mark, the game just gets absolutely crazy. It's an insane sequence of 22 minutes. So Genji's trying to get to Soul Point, if you remember this fight. Damwon has no way of getting into the fight. Noggery's, like, caught out by Ruler, and he just flashes in and one-shots the Nami. Like, no chance of winning the fight, but at least he creates some chaos by killing the Nami. And, like, Damwon really has no way of winning this fight. So they're getting, like, chased into the mid lane. And Canyon, the absolute madman, somehow sneaks into the dragon pit as Peanut has left to support the fight. And no one sees him until the last minute, when it's like a 50-50 smite fight. Peanut smites early at, like, 1,000. Takes it to 50 health, and I think Canyon gets it with an auto attack. So that prevented Soul Point. And it only gets crazier from there. So later on, like, Damwon has been denied all their vision, because even though they did delay Soul Point, like, that didn't get him back in control of the game. And Peanut, honestly, he bounced back in a huge way. He's finding picks. Like, he had such a miserable early game. He lands an ult on Aphelios in the mid lane, right? And it looks like Genji is just, like, pushing. Like, they can even get the Nexus, but they definitely open up the mid inhibitor. Because, like, I'm thinking about the game at this point. Kayn didn't get the snowball. Like, it's over. 27 minutes. Chovy has three items to Victor's two items. Three-item Victor versus two-item Syndra. And then my note here for 30 minutes is, what? I can't believe it. Ruler, this is the fight. I'm sure everyone has seen it. This is the fight in the mid lane where Canyon gets a three-man knockup into Showmaker, Syndra, one-shotting the whole team. And I am convinced, if Damwon had come back and won this game, because they're 5,000 gold down when this mid lane fight happens. If Damwon had won this game, this would be one of the most memorable fights in Worlds history. It would be in every Worlds montage for, like, the next 5 years. It still might be, but the fact that they didn't win off of it diminishes the highlight. But this was such an amazing play. The fight is, like, so doomed, man. Showmaker nearly gets one shot by Ruler at the start, because it's the three item Lucian, Nami. He just, like, bop bop gale forces, and you got, like, three quarters of Syndra's health gone. But Canyon, like, loops around the back, lands, like, this crazy three-man knockup with Kayn, and then Showmaker flashes in and does 6,000 damage in, like, a split second, and they kill everyone and they get Baron. Like, they're back in the game. It's absolutely unbelievable. But, like, then Genji is still bullying them around the map. And there's yet another Smite steal. This is what could have made Canyon into an absolute legend in all of World Championship lore, because he is desperately trying. Like, everyone's seen the jungler who just tries to 1v5 into Dragon and get a steal and is just totally doomed. That's the situation Canyon was in. He gets caught and he just like ults the Sejuani to stay alive. And then I think Peanut makes one of the biggest mistakes that luckily didn't cost them a series. He delivers the Kayn into the pit. And yeah, I realize I'm not doing a huge amount of analysis here because the game was just too crazy. But like, if I actually think about the analysis, there is not a way that Damwon should have been able to win this game once Chovy got so fed, right? Chovy had perma mid prio. Ruler Lehens could close on them. The engage tools weren't good enough for Damwon. They shouldn't have had a chance to win this game, but they did. There's an incredibly clutch fight at the very end where Ruler gets a quadra kill. Chovy just gets enough damage down. Like, Damwon played so well this series. Like, we know that Gen.G wins this. Ruler clutches up. Peanut's incredibly relieved. Like, overall, Chovy gets his first semifinal. Peanut wins his first best of five instead of losing like he did in the other amazingly epic series we had in 2016, T1 versus Rocks back in the day. Chovy versus Showmaker absolutely delivered in so many ways. Dokdan versus Ruler was also kind of an incredible matchup. Canyon and Showmaker is just such an incredible mid lane combo. Like, it's such a heartbreaking series for Damwon, actually, because going through these five games, if you've been able to follow it, like, I think Damwon had an outside chance of winning all five games. Game one, they were very far ahead until they tried to overdive bot lane. Game two, Baron throw. Game three and four, they smashed them. Game five, they had three lanes of prio and Kayn invading. They could have snowballed that game. They just didn't execute. And then they nearly came back to not do it again. Like, I have some mixed thoughts on, like, how amazing this series was and how much I want or don't want double elimination. I know everyone's talked about the Worlds format this year, and double elimination has been like a playoff format for so many leagues. Because on one hand, like, I hate that Damwon is gone. They're so good. They probably played net better than Gen.G. I know that's a really dangerous statement when they lose the series. They didn't perform in the clutch moments, but overall, I'd say they played at like a slightly higher level than Gen.G did today. But they're gone. So you'd love to see them get a second chance. But also, the series is so exciting because you know there's a finality to it. It's so punishing. Every play matters so much. So that's the other side of why I feel like single elimination can be okay sometimes. I think overall I would love it if this was a double elimination and we get to see more Damwon games, but such an incredible series. I think for me, in terms of like a series MVP, Canyon gets the ace as best performing player on the losing team, but it's actually very close because Showmaker had some absolutely insane performances. We just forget about them because Canyon's game five was so crazy. I think for me, Chovy does get it for Gen.G. He was just so reliable for most of the series. I have him as an S in game one, an S in game two, a B in game three, B in game four, an S plus in this game five. I gave away a lot of S pluses for game five because it was so epic. I gave S plus to Showmaker and Ruler. I gave Bs to everyone else on Gen.G. I gave an A plus to Noggery, S plus to Canyon, B plus to Showmaker, A plus to Dokdan, and B for Kellen. Such an awesome series. Honestly, I hope this wasn't too recappy, because I had such a good time watching it, and hopefully there was enough analysis and breakdown in the individual drafts. Most of the series, I think Damwon did play, once they started banning Yuumi, to their lane prio, Canyon invade strategy. I think teams were actually fairly stubborn in draft. I think like the first pick Sejuani was a pretty stubborn play by Gen.G, especially when they're not comboing it with melee champions. It didn't cost them, but I think they're going to need to improve that a little bit as they go into semifinals. And yeah, thanks for watching. I'll see you tomorrow for EDG DRX.